because it shows life behind the lines in the North with the March girls there in Concord. Their father's off in the Army. That would be a common experience, and they worry about him. They gather to read his letters at night. They're terribly concerned when they find out he's wounded. All of those things bring the war home to them. But on a day-to-day basis, life, just going through life as you would normally, things have not really changed that much in the March household because the war isn't raging in Massachusetts or anywhere near Massachusetts. They go about their lives pretty much as they had before the war, except that their father's gone and they're worrying about him. Other than that, their lives haven't really changed that much. All right, some of the ways that the war did increase opportunities, increase the sphere within which women could operate in the North. Let's start with benevolence, the world of benevolence, the benevolent societies during the war. The U.S. Sanitary Commission was the most important one, and it was an outgrowth, really, of ladies' or soldiers' aid societies and sewing circles, which sprang up spontaneously in nearly every community when the war came. As many as 20,000 may have been formed. They're formed in the North and the South. We'll talk about the Southern version in our next lecture. But typically, there's enormous enthusiasm in the beginning. People worry about how the boys at the front are doing. Do they have enough clothing? Do they have enough food? Do they have enough Bibles? Do they have the things that young men should have when they're off fighting a war? And this enthusiasm resulted in an abundance of material being shipped off to the front, often in a very haphazard fashion. Much of it not needed, much of it spoiled along the way. A lot of food would be crated up and sent to the front, food that would be inedible by the time it got there. So there's this initial impulse to help the boys, to come together in these groups, these benevolent groups to help. Organization came fairly quickly in the North. It ceased to be just a sort of spontaneous local effort. And organization came out of this benevolent chaos. One result was what was called the New York Central Association of Relief, begun in late April 1861. That became linked with the U.S. Sanitary Commission, which was formed by people who were especially concerned with the appalling rate of disease in the armies. We've talked about that before, how subject to disease the men were. Throughout the war, these groups helped raise funds through what were called sanitary fairs. The largest one was in Chicago in 1863, brought in an enormous amount of money. These are almost like a modern World's Fair, in a sense, where you would have a number of exhibits. People would come in and see all the exhibits relating to different parts of American life and different parts of the war, and these fairs would yield money. That money would be translated into medical supplies and Bibles and other religious tracts and other things that would help make soldier life more comfortable and more uplifting as well. They worried about the moral condition of the soldiers as well as the physical condition. Some of the women in this organization became key organizers for the women's movement later in the 19th century. There was a lot of organizational and practical administrative experience that came out of this wartime service. Now, most of the top positions in the U.S. Sanitary Commission were held by men, but women were very active in it at somewhat lower echelons, and it was the kind of practical experience that would serve many of them well later. These volunteer efforts provided a generation of women with the kind of political and organizational experience that would be important, for example, in the suffrage movement later in the 19th century. Again, top positions mainly held by men. Nursing offered another outlet for women in the North during the war. Louisa May Alcott's a typical example. She wanted to fight. She was loyal to the Union and wanted to participate in the war. How can I do my part? Wondered Louisa May Alcott. The way that she could do it in the end was not as a soldier, but as a nurse. And like nearly 8,000 other Northern women, she volunteered to work as a nurse. She worked in Georgetown, near Washington, D.C. She only lasted about 6 weeks before she fell ill, but it was a very important part of her life, a very important experience in her life. Before the war, nursing was a male profession. We're so conditioned to think of nursing as a women's profession now. This is another example of not trying to understand the past through our current understanding. Men were nurses before the Civil War. Men were nurses early in the Civil War. Women had a hard time getting into the profession in many ways. We'll talk a little bit more about that later as well.